The following audio is from Solid Rock Community Church. More information about Solid Rock Community Church is available at www.solidrockcommunitychurch.com.
Hey, can we welcome David Rimhall and Lily Jo Ayers? It's pretty cool. I just thought it would be great to, kind of give you an update as to what's happening, what God is doing as a result of some missionaries that we've actually sent out from this church. And one of the things, if you study the book of Acts, you will discover that oftentimes when they would go on a missionary journey, they would give a report. Hey, here's what's happening. Here's what God's doing. Here's what God is up to. And that's what I want to share with us today. And so before we begin, there might be some people here today. Again, maybe this is your first time. You haven't been here in a while. Or maybe, you're new in the last year or so. And maybe you don't really know David and Lily, so what I thought I would ask them to do in the very beginning is just kind of talk about, your time here at Solid Rock, some of the ministries that you've been involved in here at our church, okay? So, go ahead, Lily.
Hello?
Are we on? We're on.
All right. Oh, wow.
There we go.
Okay. I've been here since day one. I've been here since I was 2 years old. And my mom was the children's pastor, and my dad helped build up this church. And so I've been involved in a lot of ministries here. I helped with the children's program a lot. I was really, really involved in that. And then when I got into high school, I got really, really involved in the youth group and really just kind of mentoring those that were younger than me and kind of guiding them along as I'm trying to figure out life too.
I started coming to Solid Rock, I think my freshman year of high school, so like five or a little more than 5 years ago. I started out with the youth group and just got super involved with all those people and student leadership and stuff like that. And then as time progressed, I got involved with more ministries here at Solid Rock and worked with the kids ministry for a while. And then my big thing kind of at the end was the worship team here and then also at the at Revolution Student Ministries as well. And I've just been happy to become part of the church. So, yeah.
Yeah. Hasn't it been exciting for those of you that know them to see what God has done in their life? Isn't this amazing? I mean, just to see the this incredible stuff that God is doing, in and through their lives. And so I wanted to ask you both, what was it that prompted you to go into missions? Because when you think about going into missionary work, I mean, you leave the comfort of home. There's a lot of things that you get used to that are readily available. You don't always have that. And so here you have two young people just sort of really starting out in their adulthood life. And now they want to go into missions. And so I thought it'd be great to just respond to that. What was it that prompted you to do that?
Well, mine wasn't really a one day I kind of was like, oh, missions, but it was kind of a gradual over time. My dad was really into missions, and he would pray that over his kids. And then I, continuously growing up, would be really just in ministry and just loved doing ministry, even if it didn't do anything for myself. And I would meet missionaries and talk with them and just be really fascinated. And then when my senior year came, everyone's like, what college are you going to? What college are you going to? And I was like, I don't know. And I was really in distress. And then one day, someone brought up YWAM, the missions organization I'm with. And I just got this, overcoming amount of peace, just peace all over everything that was happening. And I went, and I knew that's where I belonged. And I fell in love with overseas missions and just discipling people. So, yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
Once upon a time, I was standing, not there. I was standing there, though. And this girl walked up to me, and her name was Lily Jo Ayers. And she goes, David, there's this thing called YWAM, and there's this thing called the DTS, and there's one happening in Mexico in September. It's called Music and Missions. You should do that. And I said, nah, I don't think so. And the guy was like, yeah, I think so. And when I first went down, I didn't really intend to stay. I thought I was just going to spend my 5-6 months there and come home. But then God had me stay for longer, and then now he's having me stay for longer. So kind of got stuck in the world. But
okay, and how old were you at that time?
18.
18 years old. Okay. So in your guys' world as missionaries, and, you know, kind of give us a glimpse into what that typical day would look like and where you're at and kind of your current responsibilities, countries that you've been in, and what it is that you do on a typical daily basis so that we can all hear that. Okay.
All right. So my base is out of Port Townsend, and so that's only 2 hours from here. And a typical day when there's no students around is maintaining the base and really just making it a place where if God were to walk in, he'd be like, this is a place of God. This is an amazing place. And we get it ready for camps. We have camps come in. We just had a youth camp come in, and that was just an amazing experience. Thursdays especially are my favorite days. We do prayer walks around Port Townsend. Port Townsend is a very new agey town. It's actually a lot heavier than you expect when you're going there as a tourist, but when you live there and you just see all this very just new age stuff I don't know how to describe it, but we just, our favorite thing is to just cover that place in prayer. We have a map of Port Townsend, and our goal is to cover the entire map with prayer. And within that, we also get to meet people and have relationships with people, you know. And then also, one of my favorite ministries that I do personally is I go to a retirement home and I just sit with the people. And most of these people are at the point where they can't even remember what they did 5 minutes. And this is just really cool. One of the guys there, his name is Ray. He went up to the person that owns there, and he goes, today's Thursday, right? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, that girl comes on Thursdays. This is a man that tells me the same 5 stories every time I'm there. And so that's what I do. And then when there's a school, I take the students on to the ministries with me.
So now, as well as Port Townsend, you've been to
other
countries. Talk us through that, and I think we have some pictures up here to show, kind of walk through that and kind of talk about your experience there.
This is my favorite photo, actually. This is in Jaipur, India, in the Mother Teresa home there. And then this is also in Port Townsend, the bottom photo with a man named George. I just like this photo because it shows that I'm doing the exact same thing in 2 different places. And so there, we're at the Mother Teresa home, pretty much.
You can see him down there.
Oh, yeah, right there. I'm doing pretty much the exact same thing, just sharing love and sharing the word of God with them and just listening to them. That's a huge thing that I've learned is a lot of people want to be listened to. And so the woman on the top knew no English, and yet she was still going on and on and on. And I built this relationship with her.
And where is this up, right here?
The top one?
Yeah.
The Mother Teresa home in Jaipur, in India.
In India.
Mm-hmm. So that was an amazing ministry. I've been to 4 different states in India. And in the next photo, I believe, that is in Calcutta, India, in a little village right outside the city. We were going for a prayer walk, and my favorite thing to do on prayer walks is bring my camera and just get to know people. This was just a group of boys that were just horsing around and having a good time, and they go, Auntie, photo? I took their photo, and we got to talk with them, and we actually got to pray for them, and it was an amazing experience. So this is, again, in Calcutta, India.
Put that next picture up there.
This is again in Calcutta, India. We teamed up with an art team who their main evangelism is through art. And these street children, they came up to us and they were begging. And, you know, the best way things to give to these children are not money but food and just love. So we gave him a few pears, and I think he's eating some chips that we got him, and this girl whipped out some sketches, and there's an illustration about how God spoke to the masses and who Jesus was, and so we were able to share the gospel to these street children that probably know no English while also being able to provide and show them genuine love as well.
Okay.
Yeah. This is in It's a northern state. It's right next to Nepal. It used to be its own country, so it's very different culture, and it's a mainly Buddhist culture, and it's a closed country, so we weren't allowed to do any street evangelism, or we could get kicked out. So we did a lot of covering the place in prayer, and during this time, I realized the power of prayer is so strong, and so this is actually where they believe that Buddha was enlightened, and we were just there to pray over the place that the people that would come here would realize that that there's so much more. With the Buddhist religion, a lot of times it's do good deeds, and hopefully you'll make it. And they put up these prayer flags, and when the prayer flags, they believe that when the wind goes, the prayers will go with them. And my biggest prayer is that someone who is so passionate about something that isn't as fulfilling, once they figure out who Christ is and is fulfilling in that, how much more passion they will have. Like, they go up on mountains to put up these flags. Imagine what they'll do when they have the love of Christ in them and how far they will go when they have the love of Christ.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
let me ask you a quick question. What's the predominant religion?
The predominant religion is Buddhism. The predominant religion in India, the rest of India, is Hindu, and then Muslim is actually one of the top. So this is also in Kolkata, India. We're doing street ministry, and we bought some bananas, and we bought some food, and just practical things that the people could use. And this is my friend Emily. She was also on the team with me in Kolkata, India. And this is a woman that she just felt such an urge to pray for. And she was begging, and she just felt this urge, like, I need to pray for this woman. And she hands her the bananas, and then she kind of mimes, like, can I pray for you? You know, you show that you're praying to God, you know. And the cool thing about the Hindu, like, Hindu religion and Muslim and Buddhism, if you say, can you pray for me? They're like, sure. They're totally okay with you praying for them, and that's just opened so many doors. So you pray, and you let them know who you're praying to. And this woman actually just whipped out a cross, like, that she got somewhere, and just started praying along with Emily. And it was just such an encouraging time, because during this photo was actually a very discouraging time for the team. I was separated due to passport
issues. Why don't you tell us about that? That was a great story.
Once upon a time, Lily lost her passport and had to be separated from the team.
Now, Lily, you're like little.
I'm a tiny person.
And so I know what's going through the minds of a lot of people out here. It's like, wow, she's like all the way on the other part of the world, and and then you lose your passport, and so tell us all that
story.
So
what happened is my passport somehow got out of my purse and under the carpet of this car that we were renting, and so I was in this frantic hurry. I was looking for my passport, and in order to get a passport, you have to go to the U.S. Embassy, and the closest U.S. Embassy is in Kolkata. We were in Sikkim when I lost mine, so we had to take a six-hour bus ride to the airport, then another two-three-hour plane to Kolkata, get off the plane, get a taxi, go to the U.S. Embassy, explain what's happening, and pray that you're going to get your passport in time. This is what was the part that was so, I knew this was all kind of orchestrated by God, because the moment we got my old passport canceled, the moment I got my new passport, we get a phone call from the team saying, hey, good news, we found your passport. And I had to go, well, that doesn't do anything for me now. I have a new one. But the thing is, I had to get an exit visa, and that took almost 3 weeks to get. And that was very kind of hard time, but what came out of it is I learned what it's like to be overseas in a smaller group, and what it's like to be doing your own ministry and having to get up every day and being like, today we're gonna go pray for people, okay, let's do this. Or today we're gonna go to the Mother Teresa home and sign up. Or today we're gonna go meet up with this art team and just ask them if we can be a part of their ministry with them. And so it was a hard time, but it was such a rewarding time because God doesn't make the bad things happen, but he definitely redeems them.
Yeah.
And so during that time, it was definitely a redeeming time.
That's a great way to put it, redeeming. All things work together for good.
Mm-hmm.
Not all things are good,
mm-mm.
but all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to their purpose. So I think you have another picture here.
Yeah, this is also when we were, a lot of the photos are from Calcutta just because that's where I've been recently. And this is a little girl, we were telling the gospel, and you can just tell in her eyes. I love this photo because you can just tell from the way she's looking at the person reaching telling her the gospel that she knows there's something different. She knows that there is something important being told. And that's just why I love this photo. She was another street kid, and normally the street kids are really aggressive, and they're all they want to do is try to get money from you. But when you show them that genuine love, and you're like, I want, like, getting on their level and talking with them, you get a face like that being, nobody does this. You know, you see tourists pushing them. Pushing these little children, and when you have someone sit down and share pictures with them, you could just tell that there's that they know that you are sharing God's love.
Hmm.
All right, I think there's
that
another
one's it.
Photo.
Okay, so David, kind of same thing in your world as a missionary, kind of a typical day, so our church family can kind of get a picture of that and kind of your current responsibilities and what you're doing.
Yeah, so every day is kind of different. It's missionary life. It's the joke is that most of the time you just do a lot of waiting around for things to happen or going and running, trying to make things happen, and you don't really know what's going to happen at all, ever.
I can relate to that.
But at the base in Ensenada, we have the same overseas ministries, but we have a lot of local things as well, just like Port Townsend, and our big three kind of are the Homes of Hope Project, which is to build houses for those in Mexico that don't have any. And actually, it's not just Mexico, but it's expanded to multiple different countries in the Caribbean and Latin America. So that's one of our big things, building houses. And then we also have, you'll see pictures of this place called Circulo, which is an educational ministry for children, generally of impoverished families in what's called the colonials. And finally, there's this ministry that we're beginning to push more into, which is called Unfading Beauty, which works with prostitutes, drug addicts, and pimps in the red light district of Ensenada. And so every day is kind of filled with some aspect of some sort of those ministries, in addition to the Bible schools and the discipleship programs and the summer camp type, spring break type things that we run with worship and things like that. And of course, the day-to-day, making food and cleaning bedrooms. It's just kind of real life. It's just in a different location with a lot of ministry.
Yeah, and I think you have some pictures here as well.
I do. I found these. None of these are mine. I found them all on Facebook this morning. So this first picture is at an orphanage just outside of Ensenada. And so
can you kind of tell us where that's at? And
oh, right. So she lives about 2 hours away. I live about 22 hours away, just straight down south. Just if you go on I-5, just keep going, and keep going, and keep going. Go through the border and keep going, and you'll eventually make it there. So it's 2-ish hours, hour and a half south of the border, south of Tijuana, in the Baja. So that's where that is. That's where everything's stationed. And yeah, that's me and some members of my team. We went there. Most of those children had some sort of mental disorder, mostly brought on by neglect or rejection as children or infants, and so that's why they're there. Most of that day was just spent being with the kids, playing with them, because they don't have anyone to do that with. So, yeah.
Okay.
This is me lending a helping hand. This is, you can see the colonials back behind me there, and this is actually on something called Nico that we did, which was like this wilderness excursion thing. But what it did, besides building our team and getting us more connected to one another, was really put us into the world of what it's like to live there and You can't see it in this picture, but right behind us is this really little church that we did some work for. And it's just, you know, like a concrete floor with just this tiny room in it. And that's one of the prominent churches in the area, you know. So that's really all I'll say about that picture.
Okay.
This is the Circular Kids Ministry. I don't know what we're doing exactly. Some sort of exciting, exuberant song type thing. Actually, while we were there, there was this little boy who was probably 2 years old and on this day. And my whole mission that entire day was just to get him to smile because he wouldn't. Like, we did all these fun games, tried to engage with him, and he would just sit there with this deep, brooding frown on his face. And I would follow him around. He'd run up there. That's a toilet, actually, behind me right there. And he'd run up there and just run around there, and I'd just try to find him and try to get him to smile. And I did, at the end of the day, get him to smile. But yeah. So that's actually that's all in Sonata. I didn't realize that. But yeah. So there's one more picture. And this is my team right before we left on our outreach to Belize, which is just west of Guatemala and south of Mexico. And so, yeah, this kind of exemplifies the overseas mission side of things. I'm sad I didn't get any pictures of like house builds or actually any ministry while we were in Belize or Israel more recently. But that's kind of what it's like. You just travel around as a family, and there's a whole bunch of different things you can do. Like, while we were in Belize, there was this church we went to go help, and Josh, who's the bearded man in the center, and I had this task of lifting up the body of Christ, building up the kingdom by tearing down a bookshelf. And it took like 4 hours to take down this bookshelf. Everything was screwed in weird, and it was all messed up, but it was just aiding the kingdom. And that's just a really small thing. And then there's other things that we do that are more active and more out there and more mission-y. But really the whole point is lifting up the kingdom and creating a unified body. And so that's really the whole kind of goal of missions in general.
Thank you. You know, we've conversed and talked, and you and I conversing through email and Starbucks, you know, and a long conversation there. It's so obvious that the passion that you have for being on the mission with Jesus, the passion is so incredible. I wanted to ask this question, you know, as you think about your experiences, you know, being in these different countries, and I'd like for you to just tell us about some of the things that you've experienced. Tell us about some of the things that you've seen that you weren't expecting, and how God has used you as you've followed him on this journey.
All right. So that's such a. I had an answer, but now it's just trying to.
Yeah, things you've seen or experienced, and. Yeah.
I didn't realize how important relationship was. Like, as much as I'm a relationship person, like I love to create relationship with one another. You know, when you're saying you're going out on the mission field, you're like, I gotta get as many people to Christ as possible. Let's go, go, go. You know, and then what really has happened to me is I just meet one person in each place. In this last place, Calcutta, I met a girl named Jyoti. Jyoti means light. I accidentally called her Jyoti. That means slipper. And she wasn't very happy. But she was a young Christian girl in the area. She was one of the only Christian girls in her village. And she was about 14. And she just attached herself to me. And I would go on walks with her, and I would talk with her, and she actually would come up, and I would invite her to our little apartment and be like, hey, you want to hang out with us missionaries, you know? And one day she's just telling me all of her love and passion, and one day she's like, I want to be a teacher, but I also want to be a missionary. And I looked at her, I was like, you can be both. And she just like, what? I can, and by the end of this trip, she called me Didi, which means big sister, and we still communicate, so. Just everywhere I went, there was always just one person. You know, I thought I was like, I'm going to impact the masses. But what God does is I impact one who impacts one who
That's
impacts
good.
One.
That's good.
And then another thing personally I wasn't expecting, especially on my DTS, was growing up in the church, I was like, yes, I've always known God. But I didn't know how to know God, how to have that hard personal relationship. And we did this Father Heart of God week. And it was an amazing week just to realize, wow, he is more than just that person I go to church for. He is my father. He's someone I have a relationship with. And so during that first 6 months when I first went into YWAM, when I first started that mission work, my religion of my family became not a religion anymore, but a relationship. And it was just this cool thing to have, and bringing that out overseas and even into Port Townsend, it shows way much more than when you're like, this is what Christianity is, and instead of being like, this is who God is. Mm. So.
Excellent. Yeah, that was good. Yeah. Yeah. David?
Right, so it's really along the same lines. I think there's an attitude that a lot of young missionaries have of this kind of, I'm going to go change the world type of thing. That's not necessarily a bad attitude to have. That zeal is important and vital to surviving. I went down with this, like, yeah, I'm going to go change the world. I'm going to go impact lives, and I'm going to go, like, serve a bunch and give a bunch of myself, and God's just going to use me so powerfully. And I went down with this intention to go change the world and didn't expect that what actually happened is that my world would be changed instead. Yeah. And I remember going through these different churches, and no matter how much we would try to serve them, they would serve us more. Even when you go to places that aren't Christian, and in Mexico especially, they're so open and inviting as people that you try to help them, they'll give you food and they'll do things for you. And you're like, no, we're trying to help you, but no matter how much you give, you're going to be given more. No matter how much you serve, you're going to be served more. And no matter how much you try to change, you will be changed more. And so I could ramble on for about 45 minutes just about what's happened to my life in the last year. And I wish I could explain it all to you, and I can't. But it just changes your life more than anything else. And George was talking about that a couple weeks ago at the youth group. And he said, God doesn't care about your accomplishments. He cares about your heart. And what you change inside, or what he changes inside, is more important than any change you can affect to the world. And so, that's that.
And that's really the difference. But I do want to build on that and expand on that a little bit. And tell us, and we'll start with you, how this has changed your life as a follower of Jesus in maybe a couple of significant ways. You don't have to take 45 minutes, but you know, it's a couple of ways that, you know, you as a follower of Jesus, because again, you know, it's not about accomplishing a bunch of stuff, but it's who we are, you know, in Christ and understanding. So how has that changed you personally since you've left and now? So.
Okay.
Condensed version.
Right, right. Okay, yeah, short answer. I just super love Jesus.
there we go.
But I've had so many different conversations that have shaped how I've understood, how I've changed, and one of them, I was talking to someone else about this and then realized that it was true of my life. And it was like, I always saw God as a father, but I hadn't seen him as my father. I had always seen Jesus as a savior, but I hadn't seen him as my savior. And a year ago, I was sitting on a floor and I was crying and I was sobbing uncontrollably, because I truly felt that I would never, ever feel God again. I thought that I would never be able to experience what the love of God was like. I thought that I was losing my faith. I thought that I would never recover. And 8,760 hours later, a year to the day, to the hour, I was writing a final application for a Bible school that had grounded me so much firmer and deeper in truth and in the Spirit and in love than I ever had before. After a life-changing year of God just reaching in and pulling me off the path that I was going down and putting me where I needed to be and showing me how great his mercy was, how great his grace was, and how great his love was for me. And no matter what I'd done or who I was, he called me son. And it's been a journey of finding my identity, finding who I was created to be as a child of God, as a soldier, as a servant, and as a son. And Romans 8 destroyed my life.
Love that, don't you? The scripture ruined me, you know, kind of wrecked me in a good way. So,
because I now know that I have not been given a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but I've been given a spirit of adoption as a son, as a child, and I have now found myself in this state of feeling I'm perpetually going to explode just because I can't contain inside of me the wonder, the adoration of this real, tangible, loving God that is just surrounding me. Mm-hmm. And I know that nothing will ever be able to separate me from that love. And I'm going through this journey of falling short and failing, but it not mattering, because there's no condemnation and there's always redemption, and standing firm in my identity that I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. And that's one of the biggest things, knowing that just as much as I am God, even more, if not more so, he is mine. And nothing can ever take that away.
Yeah. Being on the mission with Jesus is life transforming when you really get on the mission and you're really involved. So thank you for sharing that, David. How about you, Leah? How does this kind of change you? Your life?
It's as honestly, every season has been so different. You know, I went into YWAM thinking, I'm the good Christian girl who's going to go save the world. And God was like, no, you're very much of a sinner as the person next to you. I had a roommate in my roommate. So quick background, as most of you know, I grew up in this church. I grew up with a Christian home. I was homeschooled part of my life, you know, and I am put into this YWAM organization where my roommate used to be a drug dealer, and my other roommate had this really just hard life of just falling from God and coming back and falling from God and coming back. And then there's me, and I'm just thinking, at first I got there and I was like, well, I love God more, obviously, but then as as time went on, I realized
love of Jesus.
I am just as much as a sinner as my roommate. I'm just as much of a sinner as someone else. And then another thing that I've been learning is, as I said, just having this consistent relationship with Christ. During my DTS, I learned what it was to have a father.
Can you explain to them what DTS is?
DTS is a discipleship training school. And what it is it takes people who have this heart for mission. And sometimes people go there just to figure out, I became a Christian, what do I do, you know? And they accept these people, and the first 3 months is this course of lectures, and you learn the Father heart of God, you learn the Bible, you learn the meaning of the cross, and it's really what you thought was going to be training for you to go on seas. It's really training you on who you are in Christ. And we have this, YWAM's mission statement is to know God and make him known. And they have this huge belief that before you go out into the field, you need to know who you are in Christ, and you need to know how much Christ loves you before you go out and tell it to the world. And so I didn't realize how much God loves us. It was crazy. And we had this running joke in my school, and still at the base that I'm at, is that I love love. When everyone tells a story about how they met their wife, I'm like, what's next? What? And I became that way with God. When God was like, I love you, I was like, yeah, and what's next? Or when God was like, I love that person over there, I was like, yeah, and what's next? And just having this amazing new relationship where it's not just, okay, you go do this, okay, I'm doing that, but he goes, I want you to do this, and I go, I want to do this for you. Mm. And so even though sometimes I feel like I'm like, are you sure you want me to? Like, are you sure? I still want to do the hard things for him. And before I would be like, no, that's too hard. You don't know what you're talking about. But now we have this relationship of I love you, you love me. I can't even fathom how much you love me. I'm going to do this for you then. So yeah, that's what really has come out about this whole thing, and then wanting to share that with others. You know, before, especially in high school, I was like, people know I'm a Christian, I don't really need to share it. And now, because I'm just so in love, like when you're in love with someone, you're like, when you're in love, you love your wife, you tell everyone, you know, you are in love, you want to tell everyone. And that's how I feel about God and about Christ is just, I go out into Port Townsend, I start a conversation, like, you know who I love? I love God. And it's amazing because they want to talk about it more when they see there's this genuine love instead of...
I want to take some of that boldness. Wouldn't that be great? You know, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, well, obviously, you know, the journey continues for you, you know, being on this missionary journey. And obviously God is doing something in your heart. You've come to a deeper level of understanding what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, be actually really sold out on the mission, which is really what God has for all of us. So why don't you tell us what's in front of you? What's the next year to 2 years look like for you so that our church family can be praying, you know, for you? Because these are missionaries that came out of Solid Rock. God raised them up. We sent them out. And they're impacting other places, obviously, as you've heard, around the world. And he's continuing to do that. So what does it look like for you, David, for the next year or two? What's your journey look like?
Well, I'm signed on as full-time staff in Ensenada now, and so I'll be actually begin my commitment, not in hours, in days. I leave in about 2 weeks. So, the 23rd is when I'll start my full-time commitment, really. And that involves a lot of things, working with all the ministries that I mentioned before, but my primary focus is going to be working with the Discipleship School, the DTS. Music and Missions is kind of the theme in September. And then next April, I will be working with something called a BCC, which is a Biblical Core course, which is something that I just finished doing. And we'll be working with that and able to teach people. It's all kind of, you know, grounding people in the spirit and truth. So discipleship is my real passion. So that's kind of my direction for the next couple years. And after that, we'll see what happens. But
see what God does.
Yeah.
How about you, Lily?
All right. So currently I'm doing a school. So I'm on staff with YWAM Discovery Bay up in Port Townsend. And I will be there. My commitment is for 2 years. I have about a year left. But, you know, whatever happens with God, it happens. I could be there for 30 years if God said so, you know. But right now I'm doing a TESOL, teaching English as a second language. It's very similar to an ESL. And it's a 13-week semester course crammed into 5 weeks. And if you knew me growing up, school was a struggle. And God said, oh gosh, okay. God said, you could do this. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. And what I'm going to do is become a teacher and help those kids overseas or in Port Townsend or that are struggling with school, that are struggling because English isn't their first language. And tell them that they're smart and they're loved. And so that's what I'm doing this month. And then after that, we start the discipleship training school. And we have students coming in. We have about 5 students signed up at the moment. And we're just going to walk beside them and do the discipleship training school and then go on outreach in December to China, Cambodia, and Thailand. And so that's exciting.
Yeah.
And then after that, if it is in God's will, I'll be going overseas to finish my TESOL program. We have a practicum, so we go anywhere to teach adults for a month, and then you'll get your certificate. So, God willing, after that school, I'll be on another plane to either the Ukraine or China to teach English. So, yeah.
Wow. Hey, can we just thank David and Lily for sharing? Thank you, guys. Thank you. You can go. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, here's how I want to end the service today. The reality is that the invitation to go on the mission with Jesus has been given to every single follower of Jesus, right? Right? And while we may not be able to go to Mexico or China or India, we still have a mission field here on the mission with Jesus. Right here in Covington, people need to know Jesus. Hundreds, thousands of people in your neighborhood, Covington, Maple Valley, Kent, Renton, wherever it may be. Thousands and thousands of people who need Jesus. And I want to just end with just one verse out of Scripture. And this is a statement, a verse that I won't put it up just yet. But this was a verse recorded by Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Acts. It's a statement that probably the greatest missionary of the first century and probably one of the greatest missionaries outside of Jesus, of course, Jesus, obviously, but of maybe of all time, by the name of Paul. And if you're here today and you're not a church person or a Bible person, Paul, just to give you a little context, Paul was a hater of Christians. Paul was a ferocious hater of Christians. He would be the one who would be standing in authority as they martyred the first Christian martyr, Stephen. There was Saul standing there when that happened. He hated Christians. He would go into homes and wreak havoc. He would pull Christians out of their homes. And I mean, there's just such this passion that he had. And then he had this encounter with Jesus. And he went from being Saul of Tarsus upon his conversion to being the Apostle Paul, who would eventually write over half our New Testament, or at least close to half of our New Testament, and just became this radical, radical lover of Jesus. And Paul went throughout, as you read the book of Acts, which is really a history of the early birthing of the early church. It's really what the followers of Jesus did after Jesus went to be with the Father. But he went around on establishing churches throughout that part of the Roman Empire. And on his third missionary journey, Luke records some words of the Apostle Paul that I think, and here's really going to be my invitation to us, because we are at a crossroads as a church. And I just feel of the led of the Holy Spirit to just give you this verse, let it lodge in our spirits, and just see what the Holy Spirit does with it. But he makes this incredible, incredible statement that I think applies to every single follower of Jesus. And here's what he said in the first part of that verse, if you could put it up there for me. He says, however, this is Acts 20, verse 24. He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. And the context for why he is saying that, Paul is together with some leaders from the Ephesus church. He's there with some leaders, and the leaders have said this to Paul. They said, Paul, if you continue on this mission that you're on, this mission with Jesus, if you continue on this, Paul, you just need to know that what awaits you, what's in front of you, is prison. That's going to be probably a part of your future, and it was. I said, Paul, if you continue on this journey, on this mission with Jesus, there's going to be trials in front of you. There's going to be tribulations in front of you. There's going to be things, Paul, that you're going to face that you never dreamed you were going to face. And we just want you to know this is what's in front of you. Are you sure this is what, do you really want to sign up to be on the mission with Jesus? And Paul's like, look, none of that moves me. I consider my own life nothing to me. Nothing is more important to me than being on the mission with Jesus, the one who died for my sins, was buried, and God raised him from the dead, and now he went to be with the Father. And now the invitation for all of us who have put our faith in Jesus is to get on the mission with Jesus. And it's like, well, I'm a Christian. Well, the fact that you're a Christian does not mean that you're on the mission with Jesus. And so here's what Paul says as he concludes this statement in the same verse. Go ahead and put that up there for me, would you? He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. So Paul, what is it that you're focused on? Paul, what is it that's really, really important to you? If you were to step back and give us a description of your life, what would you say, Paul? And Paul says, let me tell you, my only aim is to finish the race. And if you read over when he's writing at the end of his life before Nero kills him,
At the end of his life, Paul will write to a young pastor named Timothy, and he will say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I've kept the faith. But at this particular moment, he says, guys, let me tell you what's the most important thing to me. He says, my only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me. So, well, Paul, what is the task that the Lord Jesus has given you? Now that you've been radically saved by Jesus, now that you've put your faith in Jesus, what is the task that you've been given? And he tells us, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. At the top of my list, at the top of the priority list that I have in my life. It's not my job. It's not my career. It's not my hobbies. It's not my family. It's not that. At the top of my list as a follower of Jesus, my one focus, my one aim is I want to finish this race. I want to be able to look back on my life and go, you know what? I want to be able to say, you know what? I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. And he was able to say that. And he said, that's really my only aim, is to finish the race and complete the task that Jesus has given me. All that's important to me, at least at the top of my list. I mean, I love our relationships. I love all that. I love you guys as leaders. But nothing is more important to me than being on the mission with Jesus. And I want to make two comments, and then we'll close. Here's the first comment that comes out of that verse. Every Christian... Just a couple comments. Every Christian has a special purpose within God's plan. I just want to say something to all of you here today, because there's some of you that may think, you know what, well, I don't really have any gifts. I don't really have any talents. I don't really have anything that I can really offer them. There's nothing special or anything about me. I mean, you know, let me just tell you something. God, and you may not have even discovered this yet, God has put in you gifts and talents that you may not have discovered yet. But if you put yourself in an environment on the mission with Jesus, you may be surprised that God just might do something really, really incredible in your life. Every single Christian, every single follower of Jesus, and by the way, if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus and you just feel like your life has no meaning or no purpose, I just want to invite you to put your faith in Jesus, because you will go on the journey of a lifetime on a mission with Him. I found it really interesting that David and Lily told us, you know, I thought I knew what being a Christian was, but I really discovered something when I got in an environment that helped me to understand what it really was to have a relationship with Jesus and how it can radically change my life. Because when you get to the end of your life, you're not going to look back and go, man, I'm so glad I spent all those hours at the church or at work. Church is fine. At work. I'm so glad I invested all that time and overtime and overtime. No. You want to get on the mission with Jesus. Every single follower of Jesus has a special purpose within the plans that God has for your life. And if you're here today and you don't have a lot of joy in your life as a Christian, which, by the way, Christians ought to have the most joy. We ought to be so full of joy that people are just drawn to us. What's the joy? And if you're lacking in joy, maybe let me just give you one way you can do that. Go ahead and put that other one back up there, the next one back up there. Would you put that up there? Every Christian has a special purpose within God's plan. Joy comes when you recognize it, hey, this is my purpose. This is what God's called me to do. And I'm going to say that the purpose at the top of the list is to get on the mission with Jesus. And Jesus told us what that was in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them that are lost, those that are far from Jesus. And the way that you can really get joy in your life is to recognize that, accept that, adjust to it, begin to adjust your schedule, begin to adjust how you spend your time, how I spend my time, adjust where you spend your money, how I spend my money, recognize it, adjust to it, and then just get about doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the invitation for us today, August 10th, 2015, here's the invitation that I want to give to us today in getting on the mission with Jesus, is to say, you know what? I recognize that's what it is. Some of you need to repent. Some of you need to say, you know what? I have been so distracted, I don't even think about talking to people about Jesus. That's the farthest thing from my mind. When I go to the grocery store, when I go to work, when I think about, I'm not even thinking about that. But you could be the answer to someone's prayer. Let me ask a question. How many of you here this morning have someone in your life, a friend, a neighbor, a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, parents, mom, dad, grandparents? You have someone in your life that needs Jesus. Can I see your hand? Would you? How excited would you be if someone shared Jesus with them? Would you be excited about that? Raise your hand. Would you be excited about? Oh, you would. Did you know that you may be the answer to somebody's prayer? That somebody's praying that I would be on the mission with Jesus to share Jesus with somebody. And Lily, so much wisdom in that little tiny ball of fire there. So much wisdom. It's not about the masses, the masses, the masses. It's about that one person that God brings in your life. It's about that one person that God says, hey, I just want you to invest in that person. Just spend some time investing in them. And then when the opportunity is available, just share me with them. Share Jesus with them. Invite them to church to be a part of something God is doing. It's that one person. You could be the answer to somebody's prayer. They're waiting for us to go on the mission with Jesus. And that's the invitation. And I just want to ask us as a church, what do we want to do? Do we want to be on the mission with Jesus? And if you do, two things I want you to do. I want you to just take your connection card, and I know you guys fight this all the time, but take your connection card and just write the initials, OTM, I'm on the mission. I'm on the mission. Just OTM, I'm on the mission. And when you leave, you can hand it out. But here's the other thing. Here's what I want to ask us as a church. Are we ready? Are we willing? Like Paul would say, can we put that scripture back up there, Curtis? That Acts 20:24, can we put that back up there? Are we willing to say, like Paul, my only aim is to finish the race. When I get to the end of my life, it's not going to be about houses and lands and money in the bank. You can't take it with you anyway. But have I impacted people for Jesus? Have I led somebody to Jesus? Have I influenced somebody for Jesus? My only aim, Paul would say, is to finish the race and complete the task. God has called us to the task. Being on a mission with him, that's the invitation. And if that's something that you want to do as a part of this church, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you don't want to, you don't stand. But if it is, stand up. It's awesome. When tears, as a pastor, nothing is more important to me than us being on a mission with Jesus, leading people to Jesus Christ. God has done something in me in the last couple of weeks. I cannot explain it, but I will at some point tell you the journey and what has happened, something that he's done so amazing that needed to happen. And I'm not talking about sin or anything like that. But something that God has done in me that has changed me in a good way, I want to be able to say, my aim is to finish the race. I want to look at the end of my life and look back and go, oh, I'm so glad I did that. I want to be able to say, like the great apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight. I'm in the fight. Some of you need to get in the fight. There's a fight going on. There's a war going on. There's people need to be delivered and set free. There's people that need Jesus. There's people that are desperately crying out for somebody to tell them about Jesus. There's a fight going on. And I want to be able to look back and say that I finished the race, that I fought the good fight, I finished, and I kept the faith. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for us, and then we'll go. Jesus, I just thank you so much that you've invited us. It's a great invitation to go on the mission with you. And it's not the masses. It's not where we've got to go out and try to win, you know, the whole world. But there's one person in our lives that's just waiting for an invitation. There's one person. That's our evangelism strategy. It's no program. It's just simply taking the time to share with somebody that you've placed in our lives. And then just stepping back and allowing you, Holy Spirit, to do what only you can do. And with the hope that they would respond and say yes to you, Jesus. That's why you came. That's why you died on a cross for our sins. Thank you for inviting us to be on the mission with you. And if you're here today as our heads are bowed and you've never accepted Jesus, and you just feel like your life is so meaningless. You've got money. You've got wealth, you've got a big house, you've got a big, I mean, all those things are nice and that's great, but it'll never fulfill you. It will never fulfill you. If you want purpose for your life, if you want meaning for your life, I invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. To surrender your life to Jesus, He will take you on the adventure of a lifetime as you get on the mission with Him. If you think you're here by accident, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. God brought you here at this moment to tell you that He loves you more than you realize, that He died on the cross for your sins, and if you will put your faith in Him, you will be in right standing with your Heavenly Father. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for David and Lily. Thank you for their sharing. Thank you for what you're doing in this life. And God, I say with a big, big, big faith, thank you for what you're doing right now in the hearts of us, your followers, Solid Rock Community Church, one part of the body of Christ. Thank you for what you're doing in us. Change us. Don't let us be the same. Talk to us. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give Jesus one more hand clap.